Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Two of the top science stories of 2015 involved the science of science itself. One study reflected the growing concern about what some call the reproducibility crisis, the inability for different or the same scientists to reproduce the results of previous research. To test this, psychology professor Brian Nosek and colleagues at the nonprofit Center for Open Science got help from 350 scientists to repeat 100 top-profile studies from 2008. Of the 100 experiments, they were able to get significant results in 97 of the cases, but they were not as positively significant as was first determined. Another group looked at the language of research. They did a retrospective analysis of scientific studies that were published in PubMed between 1974 and 2014, looking for the incidence of positive and negative words. Examples of the positive words included amazing, assuring, astonishing, inspiring, inventive, novel, phenomenal, remarkable, robust, unique, and unprecedented. Definitely very positive words. The negative words, detrimental, discouraging, disheartening, inadequate, impossible, ineffective, insufficient, pessimistic, unpromising, unsatisfactory, useless. Those are pretty doggone negative words. What they discovered was that there has been a significant increase in the number of positive words. Between 1974 and 1980, the increase was about 17.5%. When it was taken up to 2014, the increase was 880% over the four decades. If they looked at specific positive words, robust, novel, innovative, and unprecedented, these increased in relative frequency up to 15,000%. Negative word infrequencies increased 257%. So our research has become more emotional. What is the cause of this? What is the cause of the reproducibility crisis? We can take a more pessimistic view and, looking at the time frame, trace it back to the attack of the killer MBAs, where numerous once service-oriented professions and occupations such as medicine, research, education, since then they have become industries. They have become very interested in protecting their brand, generating new income, whether that income is funding or the possible sale of their information in some other venue. Or we could look at the method itself. I have read old journal articles, many of them. They are dry, they are dull, they are excruciatingly boring. You read them and you think they must have been written by a robot. That is no longer the case. There's a sprinkling of emotional adjectives in the writing. Some of it is downright sprightly. Let's face it, we're not an objective species. We never have been, and I doubt we ever will be. But aside from that, reproducing results isn't as simple as it sounds. Yes, the scientific method can say, eliminate all the variables. But the reality is, those variables do affect the results, whether we choose to ignore them or not. And if you repeat an experiment a day later, let alone 7 years later, those variables are going to be different. The researcher, him or herself, is going to be different. The environment is going to be different. Any study subjects, human or animal, are going to be different. Even the equipment and the techniques, they might be mechanically the same, but how they are applied may differ. Does that mean that I think that the whole system's a sham and should be thrown out? No, not at all. But I do think that relative to getting the big picture, at best, it only tells us half of what's going on. If we want to know the whole picture, we need to combine the two forms of knowledge. Not just the eliminate all the variables type of knowledge, but also the case history, the ethnogram, that takes all of the variables into account. Where they intersect is probably as close to truth as we can possibly get.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.